Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, the referee's seen it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm joined by James or Jim.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Slamming.
And Luke's here.
Yo, all right.
I'm going to start with an email from Tom Place. He says, greetings, Ramble. Despite all of the Nuge's efforts, it looks like Burnley could be going down this season. So my question is, who's your favourite great player in a rubbish team? Bit harsh on Burnley.
Yeah, good question.
But it's a good question, though. We're going
to
go for it.
And very, very flattering to David Nugent.
It is indeed. I'm going to mix things up a little. I want Pete to go first.
Oh, my days.
were you listening, Pete?
Who are you? Why are you here, you lot?
You invited us.
I'm going to go for a man whose biography, or one of his biographies, was called One Man Team, Matthew Letizia.
Was it actually?
No.
Wait, biography, not his autobiography.
No, yeah.
That would be amazing if his autobiography.
One Man Team.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling my Rambo autobiography.
Yeah, Matthew Letizia. He was just, I mean, obviously, yeah. Notable mentions to Ian Dowie, but sometimes you just got to go. Really.
No, it depends what Southampton team you're talking about. I mean, you got Jason Dodd, you know, Francis Benali, Matt
Francis
Oakley,
Benali,
all Premier
Chris Marsden,
all the exactly. A bit later on, but valid.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good one, Pete.
No,
that's a good shout. He's a Dean Windass Hall of Famer as well.
Right, Luke. He is
like his skills, Pete. He certainly had some, didn't he?
Yeah. He scored some goals. He broke some hearts, and now he's on the telly.
Yeah,
didn't he? Letizia?
That's all his biography says.
He's got an amazing penalty record.
I never missed one. I think.
Yeah, it's like 45 in 46 or whatever it was, something like that. James or Jim, you're next.
I am going to go for the bald eagle, Attilio Lombardo.
At Palace?
At Palace, yes, indeed.
Well, he was an eagle also.
Well,
yeah, good. That's why you signed for him.
Palace, the Eagles.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Now you've thrown me by reiterating my own point.
Wow, strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
He was
one
of the first sort of Italian sort of imports, really, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And it was
at Palace as well. Just, where did that come from?
Padovano joined Palace. Remember him, the Juventus striker?
Twilight.
Yep, terrible
one word
time
for you, Twilight.
Well, yeah, no, he didn't do very well.
That was the time when there was sort of a lot of foreign players winding down their careers coming to the Premier League.
Yeah, it was almost a Twilight.
Do you remember when West Ham signed Paolo Futre and they were like, "Oh, this is going to be amazing"? Yeah. And he played about
Futre
one 10. Game and like his knee Futre. Came off and
Futre 10.
God, tell the story.
That's the only English you could speak, wasn't it? Have I not told this story before?
Tell it again.
He signed for West Ham and he got into the dressing room and he. The only English he could speak was Futre 10, but obviously they had squad numbers.
Yeah.
So they gave him like the squad number like 21 or whatever. And he sort of looked at it like it was like someone just giving him like a plastic bag for the dog turd or something. He was like, no. Futre 10. And then apparently read that was like, no, it's squad numbers and someone else is 10, so you have to have this one. And he apparently just didn't say a word, just started putting his suit back on.
I love it.
Yeah, it used to be a case, didn't it? Players in their twilight would come here. Mm. We used to be like Nazzle.
Mm. A lot like Nazzle.
I loved those days, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, they were good.
Mm. It was the days before the most exciting league the world has ever known.
Mm. Which we're all very grateful for.
Yeah.
That we are in this golden generation of football.
Yeah.
Actually, Lombardo was good as well, because it is nice to see a bald man be exceptionally good at football.
Yeah. And he didn't even bother getting rid of the side.
No, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Like Zidane and Lechkov. You know.
Take note, Joe Cole. Just let it happen.
Yeah.
I remember a lovely goal Lombardo scored at Elland Road when Palace won 2-0, I think. He was a long ball over the top, lovely chest down and stroked it past Nigel Martin, it probably
would,
would have been.
He had a really nice kit as well around that sort of time, didn't they, at Palace? The old strings at the front.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that, yeah.
Luke, who are you going for?
I'm going to go for the inimitable Robert Prosinecki.
I knew you were going to say
Portsmouth,
that.
And they're in the old First Division, which is now the Championship. To our younger listeners.
That's right.
And Pompey still...
The old Division 2.
Yeah. Pompey still managed to finish about 18th. So, even though they're still at that point one of the world's most creative midfielders. And it was like...
He was a magician.
I've probably spoken a bit too much about him on this podcast over the years.
You're telling him to get
into... But I'm going
to
do it again.
You're telling him to get into the Demon Death sort
of thing. I've been lobbying. I've been lobbying for a long time. But you know, I think he got 10 or 11 goals that season.
He played for Real and Barca.
I think he's the only player to score a hat trick for both.
He's the only player to play for represent two countries in the World Cup as well.
Oh, really?
Because of the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. Mm. Yeah.
Is he the only one?
Well, he was at the time. Email in. You're sitting here.
No, actually, Marcus, check your facts, email in.
Yeah, I'm not talking to you anymore. But yeah, Prozanecki...
It's for the detriment of the show.
If we can get him a bit of him up on Ramble Tube, he'd just keep the ball as long as he wanted and then give it back.
Yeah.
And then have a cigarette.
Or get tackled.
He smoked, didn't he?
Didn't you see him outside the ground?
I saw him outside the ground having a cigarette once, yeah.
Berbatov smoke? Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, he does.
He shows it, yeah. Doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. That's mine, Prozanecki.
Good one. That's a very good one. I'm going to go for Claudio Caniggia at Dundee.
Ooh, nice.
Did he go to Rangers after that?
He did go to Rangers. It was a real shame he went to Rangers. It was lovely having Caniggia playing for Dundee. And he did well in Scotland, actually. He did pretty well. I can't remember if Maradona went to watch him at Dundee or not. There was a rumour, obviously, that he was going to go there. And I hope he did. I can't remember if he did or not, though.
Yeah. I can remember there was nothing more exciting than seeing Caniggia.
Yep.
I can't remember which commentary it was, but saying something like... The most electrifying sight in world football. I think it was around sort of World Cup 90. Caniggia in full flow.
Oh yeah,
running at defenders.
Great hair.
Long hair. Yeah, getting absolutely poleaxed by Cameroon defenders.
Yeah. Super.
Football's shit now, isn't it?
Yeah. And thanks very much for listening.
Good night.
That's all we got time for.
Before you go, let me tell you that Luke Moore's getting the points.
Oh.
Otherwise, we'd never heard the
end. Please use my surname. Otherwise, there might have been some confusion around the table. Luke who?
Don't be...
Chalk it up, you two.
Don't be facetious.
Why is Marcus left out of chalking
it up? He awards the points, doesn't matter.
FA Cup semi-finals.
Yes.
Go on.
I was at one of them. I thought Villa were lucky. No, I was there for the Portsmouth Spurs game, Marcus.
You were, weren't you?
Yeah, and I was very, very pleased with the result.
I bet you were.
I believe Lord Ramble was with you.
He was, and he supports Spurs.
In the shadows.
Was that
what end were you in?
Yeah, great.
What end were you in?
We together?
Right on the halfway line, just in the Pompeian. But on the,
imagine those two.
Yeah, I went with him, yeah. I went with him. He wasn't that happy.
But, you were giving him pelters the whole game.
He had a lovely day out, though.
If you finish your chips, you're not getting a tango until you finish your chips, yeah. Lord Ramble.
Exactly. No, it was, I mean, to be fair, though, on a more serious note, the pitch was awful.
Why not? It's 2010. We've been playing on it for a while.
They've relayed that pitch 11 times.
What is wrong? I don't understand what is wrong. Surely somebody more intelligent and more in tune with grass than I am can figure it out.
But, I mean, can there be such a person?
I'm half man, half turf.
The pitch is what it's for.
The
whole thing is based around. It's just ridiculous that they can't get it right.
I remember, look at the confectionery stands. They're world class, Jim.
I remember often in new stadiums, do they not have problems with the pitch? I remember when the Ajax, is it the Amsterdam Arena where Ajax now play? They had horrendous problems with their pitch.
Yeah, but if you host like motor racing, NFL on the pitch all the time, it's going to suffer. I, you know that the building of Wembley was just one massive.
Yeah, it's the most expensive stadium ever built, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but it was obviously massively over time and over budget.
It took a while.
But I've got a little source who told me that there was a lot of basic errors made in the building of that stadium, one of which was they used the wrong metal for the chairs, for the seats to be bolted onto, and they used an electricity conducting metal.
No.
So if anyone had a heart attack and needed
I think they're actually called that.
Yeah, people who didn't have the appropriate footwear on would have been electrocuted. That's the sort of basic errors they were making. It's only a rumour, but that is what I heard.
Don't have a heart attack. Is it, use a kajung machine. Yeah,
yeah. Is it even grass? Is it not just a big cake? Yeah,
green cake.
Yeah, but honestly,
it looks like that though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What's worth pointing out though with the pictures that people were slipping on it, obviously, but you don't get a full appreciation when you're watching it on television of how much the players were compensating for it in order to not slip. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was almost, so after a couple of minutes they knew they were going to slip, so they weren't making turns or runs that they would have made otherwise.
It was that bad.
It was terrible. It was a shame. And then obviously Portsmouth's first goal was from a direct result of a slip from Michael Dawson. He probably would have cleared the ball and Pignon wouldn't have nipped in there. And I do think that Spurs fans can feel a little bit hard done by. I mean, I think the penalty was a harsh one. And their goal shouldn't have been disallowed. I'm the thought.
No, yeah.
Good to see Uncle Avi.
Oh yeah, Uncle Avi. Yeah, he deserves it.
Avram Grant.
Like his hands to the gods. Go, yeah,
it's amazing. It was a great day. It was brilliant. Yeah. Portsmouth, and I do empathise with Spurs fans because, you know, Portsmouth. I support a team who have been on the end of bad decisions in the past, so I know what it's like. Mm. But today, that day was Pompey's day.
How do you reckon you'll fare in the final?
We'll get hammered.
Well, is the semi. Pitch that bad?
Leave the pitch as it is. Leave it as it is.
Yeah,
the pitch must stay. In fact, let's start a campaign now. No, the pitch has to, for Pompey to have a chance, the pitch has to stay as it is, and we'll need Alan Wiley to ref it again.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yes.
But having said that, the other semi-final, I think Villa can probably feel a bit hard done by. I mean, the scoreline flattered Chelsea.
Yeah, definitely.
And, that was a surefire penalty in the first half.
Martin O'Neill was furious with the tackle from John Terry.
Well, that was an absolutely appalling.
He's not had a PR season, has he, really, John? Damaging for poor James Milner.
What was interesting about the penalty at half time, Ray Wilkins was interviewed, and he was asked if he thought it was a penalty, and he said he thought it was, which was obviously surprising and good to see that he was being honest. But I thought to myself that would really help referees if the point is not to sort of pillory referees and get on their back. The point is, I think, to get the decisions right and to get as many decisions right as possible. Yeah. So if a manager is given a penalty against him, which is a penalty, and I'm talking to you, Steve Bruce, right? Don't pipe up after the game and say it wasn't a penalty when everyone could see it was, because you put more pressure on the referee. If you're honest after the game and support the referee when he makes the right decision, it will take less pressure off them.
There are a lot of 50-50 cases, and managers will always be blinkered into saying,
oh, in that case,
that's
fine.
Definitely not a penalty.
Especially if they're under pressure. But I'd like them to sort of sit down and not do press conferences until they've seen all of the sort of paper sort of episodes in the match, because they always say, I'll have to take another look at it, but you know, it didn't look like a penalty. Well, fucking look at it before you
that's where your media guys want them. They want the reaction.
Yeah.
They want it out of them. They want to grab them as soon as they've come off the pitch and they're still charged emotionally.
But I just think
ask them all these silly questions.
Well, one of the main things to get a referee in better will be honest. If a referee's made the right decision, in everyone else's opinion, don't be blinkered about it and say he hasn't just because you're the manager of the club that's had the bad decision against them.
Yeah,
be honest, and you take the pressure off the referee and he won't feel under pressure to make the right decisions. I'm not saying they're completely absolved of blame. I mean, Howard Webb is had a poor second half of the season as a referee, in my opinion. And we all know that. I'm not saying it will make everything go away, but it will at least give them a little bit more of a chance, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's just another argument for technology, isn't it? You will not argue with a robot referee.
Exactly.
It would just be utterly futile.
The ref bot, like in Robot Wars, the one that just goes wheels back and
And players will think twice about crowding round a robot referee.
Exactly. T-1000 referee.
Or the one from RoboCop. You have 5 seconds to comply.
Ref 209.
Or the one from Ulysses. The little red one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the one from the children's
Short Circuit
TV show, Bertha.
Short Circuit.
Bertha, you having that?
Bertha.
It's not a robot.
Lovely
it's
Bertha.
It's a big box machine, isn't it?
It's just a machine.
It's a woman. Clues in the name.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think he's a dream.
I think you're a dream.
Yeah.
It's all in the second person.
Has this all been
apart from when they say I'd like to talk about more semi-finals.
Yeah, okay. Let's bring some of the younger listeners back.
We're going to Scotland, where for me the biggest upset of the season happened. Ross County beat Celtic 2-0.
That is phenomenal, isn't it?
Ross County, the Scottish first division, I think they're fourth. 2-0.
Not going well for Lennon.
They were good value for it as well.
The first goal was a beauty. He broke through the heart of the Celtic team and coolly finished.
Well, the first half.
Stephen Craig, I think it was.
Well, I've not seen the goal, but from the reports I read, so I can't offer too much, but apparently Ross County were well worth it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think they've got Dundee United in the final.
I've never heard such a frank post-match interview than Neil Lennon's. after the game.
Oh, it took a while for them to get that interview, actually, because he was in the changing room giving it absolute pelters to the team.
There he was.
Yeah.
Well, he said that, you know, we've got to be a... If I get a job full time, I'll be shipping a lot of players out, and they will.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he said all sorts of stuff.
Right.
He said you can't hide from the fans. I can give them a lot of stuff that they want, but I can't give them hunger and desire. And for themselves.
Lennon loves that club.
Oh, he does. Yeah,
he
does.
Really does.
He was a great player, Lennon, as well.
He was a good player. Yeah. In the Premier League, United drew at Blackburn, the home of Jogo Bonita.
Yeah. It's a bit unfair. Game, Blackburn Rovers had more shots on target than Man United.
But it was a horrible game all over, though. It's just awful. Yeah. And
they look leggy, United, did
yeah, they? Really did.
They look really blunt up front. And
yeah, without Rooney, they didn't look like much. I know it's a lazy thing to say, but
he really did.
Well, Arsenal's still got to go to Ewood.
That's a hard game, and they've got City coming as well.
They've got a superb
record. Arsenal's sort of like easy running. That's just a bit of a myth, really, I think.
Well, Blackburn have got an amazing home record. Ewood's an absolute fortress this season, you know.
See Allardyce and Ferguson the day before, like when Ferguson's racehorse won something, and he was just absolutely delighted.
He was so delighted he actually talked to the BBC.
He did, yeah.
He forgot.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. He was just giddy. It's like he wasn't really there. When Allardyce is grinning in the background, going, yeah, hey, look, I'm mates with Alex Ferguson. He's so competitive. He's winning things in other sports.
Yeah, he is.
Horses will never let me down, like Berbatov does.
Imagine he probably brings his horse to training one day and puts it in.
This is how I want you to run.
Instead of a player that he's particularly annoyed with.
You know that on the Grand National thing, Andrew Flintoff's got a horse called Flintoff.
Nice. Give a horse a sensible name. I like it.
Yeah.
You don't have to give them stupid names all the time. And fill them full of ketamine.
Yeah.
Oi.
Political.
Yeah.
Meow, meow.
It's the election next month.
Plant on drugs.
Good wins for Burnley and West Ham.
Needed wins.
Yeah.
Needed. Weren't they? They were needed.
They're very much. Great win for Burnley. 4-1 at home.
Emphatic, you might say.
Yeah, I would. I agree with that.
There's talk of the Bullard, Newcastle.
Yeah. Really?
They
go down.
Dream stuff.
I tell you, it's been a long time since I've been fantasising about who Newcastle United are going to sign, but can you imagine?
I thought you looked aroused.
Bullard and Nolan in the middle. Myself. Bullard and Nolan in the middle. Oh, not a moment's peace of your players, then.
Yeah, Newcastle are up, Pete.
As the
official spokesperson for the Geordie race.
Pete, absolutely.
You've noticed.
I'm going to use the word graffiti of the Facebook fan page tonight, Newcastle. 4 a.m.
I was very drunk.
Yeah.
I'll level with you. But it's an active community, and I'm only happy to get amongst it.
To drive a wedge.
You and the internet love each other when you're drunk, don't you?
I get a little bit too twitty. Like, some people get punchy, I get twitty.
It's fine.
I do Twitter.
I loved it. One of your comments was just Robbie Lee running through the glen.
Yeah. Robbie Lee wasn't playing, was he?
No.
He was captaining England at the time.
Yeah.
Just harking back to the old days when he used to run through the glen.
Newcastle are undefeated at St James's this season, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're the only one who's still got it. They've still got their home record.
It is a achievement. A lot of people have been really cynical about it, going, whoa, the money they spent before they went down, they should easily get up. But a lot of clubs just disappear into obscurity
difficult
when they go down. It is really hard.
It's a wonderful achievement.
They've been winning very ugly. There's been very few times where they've hammered teams at times. I mean, even Blackpool at the weekend.
See, I fancy Blackpool to get something. They're in form at the moment. They're the form team going into the running. And Newcastle, it's only natural to think, oh, well, they've been promoted now. I suppose they've still got the fact they want to become champions.
Yeah, I kind of wanted Forest to get in the playoffs, so I was quite happy, because Forest won as well, and that kind of leaves the door open for them. Yeah.
Anyone who says, I mean, it's completely disingenuous of fans of clubs to say, oh, Newcastle squad was expensively assembled and stuff. I've supported a team who struggled and struggled to get out of that division time and time again. It's not as simple as that.
No.
Like, James, like you rightly say, teams don't only just not go back up again, they sometimes go down again.
But if anything, though,
so many examples.
But if you've got bigger players, they don't want to be playing in that league, and they're kind of thinking about moving away, and they're not motivated.
You look at the players that we are playing there, though. You know, people like Steve Harper, people like Andy Carroll, like Yobi's just coming back and stuff. They're not pricey players. They were through the youth system.
I was going to say they've been there.
We've bought quite sensibly, I think.
Yeah,
we've
I agree with that.
Decent defenders and stuff. All right, we've still got Jeunesse, it's all good.
Well done, Newcastle.
And West Brom, let's not forget.
Yeah,
West Brom, not.
Midlands team. Well,
hang on, a lot of Midlands team. Newcastle want a Midlands
in the Premier League next season.
Okay.
If Forest go up, it'll be another one, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm. Midlands derbies all over the place.
Do you think West Brom will be able to consolidate and actually stay up? Because they've been a yo-yo team for a long, long time.
Yeah, but Di Matteo's a great manager. Di Matteo's a great manager.
Untested in the Premier League, hasn't he? So it could happen again.
But I think West Brom sort of budget for that a little bit. They expect to go up and go down. I think that's a sensible thing for for clubs that aren't top 10, top 6.
I think you've got to give credit to with West Brom. It's not a club I'm massively familiar with, but you've got to give credit to their chairman. I think it's Jeremy Peace, isn't it? As soon as Gary Megson's chipping off, we'll see you later then, pal. You're not having it. Simple as that.
They're a very well-run club.
Yeah, they are, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think that Di Matteo will, obviously he's earned his right to manage in the Premier League, so we'll see. But I think, you know, if they can get a few signings in, they might have a chance. Look at the amount there's just so much shit in the bottom half of the Premier League. You've got a chance. You really have now.
I think they still miss Cyril Regis, personally.
Everyone does.
Pete, do you think Ashley would still sell Newcastle? Because there was a lot of talk that his plan was to get them up and then
no, he's not apparently. Is he?
I don't think it really matters one way or the other. It was just a big, like, if I can get rid of it, I can get rid of it. But if
you're always going to get people to come, it's a,
no,
it's
I don't. I think
club.
He said, isn't he, recently he's not going to sell.
I mean, last time he said he was selling.
I'm one of yous now, like,
but do you think it's maybe
I'm ingratiated into y'all's community?
I'm quite pleased. I'm quite pleased to hear that there was talk of an open top bus procession through, because echoing the last time Newcastle got promoted from the first second division, it was like. Yeah, they were going to be doing that, but then they called it off, which I think is very
strange. When Sunderland tried to do that and Roy Keane just cancelled it.
Just wasn't having it.
It's not big enough for this club.
Yeah, maybe Ashley will have an open top buffet. Doesn't really work.
he'll just take his top off.
Put it on.
In the Champions League, there's no English clubs left.
Oh, I'm going to watch the rest.
No. Does that mean?
Is it finished then?
Does that
finished
mean
forever?
Does that mean though that the Champions League is now an awful competition and England are doomed for now on in?
According to Richard Keys, it means the world is going to end.
Okay,
the world is going to end.
No, it's fine. Mourinho's still in it.
Oh, yeah, he is. That's a good point, actually, Pete.
I think far too much has been made over this. Personally.
Really? What an amazing surprise!
Well, you know, I'd hate to drop these bombshells into this, but you know,
like, see, the thing that annoys me most about the entire thing is everybody who knows anything about football really knows that this sort of thing, these sort of things, they move in cycles.
Yeah, of
it's
course.
Just the nature of the game. It's just so, it's unprofessional for these people to be saying, well, does that signal, you know, the end of English dominance in the Champions League? It might do for a bit, but then it might come back again in the future, because that's what's happened. You should know this. It's really basic stuff.
Are you a betting man, James?
But the worst thing about it is, just to follow on from what you said, is that they obviously, if you're talking about Sky, which we are mostly, that their stock in trade is the Premier League, so they want to sell the Premier League. But at the same time, they've got the rights for the Champions League. Don't write the Champions League off and say it's boring now, because you've still got people to watch it.
Well, if we look at the games, you know, Arsenal have been beaten by probably the best club in Europe.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best club side that I can remember.
Right.
Well, I mean, they won 6 trophies in the last calendar year.
Yeah.
Okay, facts.
No shame in that.
To back it up. Chelsea have been beaten by a decent Inter side who have consistently underperformed in the Champions League. Yeah. And now, and I think, you know, Mourinho's there. That's fair enough.
Chelsea,
they're the best side.
With a couple of decisions.
But not everyone agrees with this. And I've said it before, and a few listeners didn't agree, which is fine. But I think that Chelsea were tactically outmanoeuvred by Mourinho's Inter. So Man United have lost to a good Bayern Munich side because they were poor in the first leg.
Man United should be through.
Well, they were poor in the first leg, and they played.
They were the poor in the first leg. They made the second Bayern goal in the away leg in Germany shouldn't have gone in, and the sending off and all the rest of it. United should be through.
Incredible goal from Robin again.
Almost it's worthy of winning the
title. It's worth pointing out actually that Bayern Munich are kind of doing a Liverpool when they won it.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at it from a German point of view. Yeah. They were written off when they were 3-0 down. And in Germany, the result has been hailed as a sort of miracle.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich's record against United is excellent.
Yeah,
it is excellent.
And, I mean, it's ridiculous to say that it might lose its glamour or its charm if English clubs are going out. Look at the drama in that game.
Yeah.
That is what the Champions League is about. It should be that tight. It should be.
Yeah, of course.
They went through by losing the game. You know, it's the whole. Yeah. It's brilliant.
And it's a decent lineup as well.
Is it? Well, you've got a team from
Inter vs Barca's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bayern versus Munich. Leon.
That's great.
It's great to see Leon there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've performed well in the Champions League, and they've just It's always that little bit of extra quality they've maybe lacked.
There's a bit of
interest.
That's
fortunate
them.
To have Bordeaux in one of the rounds because
Bordeaux got players.
No, but it's a club they play against. They've played well, but they knocked out Real Madrid for crying out loud.
But there's similarities between Lyon and Inter because they both dominate traditionally. I know they're not doing it this season, but they traditionally dominate their home league, and they don't really make that extra step. But now they sort of are doing that this season.
Yeah.
But I mean, even Wenger said Wenger was very magnanimous when they lost to Barcelona.
He couldn't be anything.
There's nothing they can do, you know. Paul Merson surprisingly said something ridiculous at the weekend. He said that when Arsenal were 1-0 up at the New Camp, when I forget I had the ball, but he had a chance to put it right to Theo Walcott, but he actually went left and the move broke down. It was when they were 1-0 up. Yeah, might have been. And Merson said, if he goes right there and puts Walcott in, that's 2-0 and Barcelona are dead and buried.
Well, it was just like a wounded animal, wasn't it, when the first one went in for Arsenal. It was like we're going to see them play now. They're going to come out and just
they score straight away.
But you could see that coming. That was the best thing or the worst thing.
Lionel Messi is like a biblical plague. You know it's coming. You know it's going to be absolutely devastating and there's nothing you can do about it.
But it takes something that the fact that however good Messi can ever be for Barcelona, he still doesn't dwarf the rest of his team. Players like Xavi, Xavi has been phenomenal. He was phenomenal when we saw them
against Inter.
In the group stage.
It's interesting that, not to get too sort of beardy about tactics and stuff. I know we've got to move on, but is that. They say, look how much Barca press, and if you just try and press them back and you do what they do and you work hard. Xavi, and I know Iniesta's not played as much recently, but Xavi and Iniesta never look hurried on the ball.
No, never.
He's a class above.
They let the ball do the work.
Absolutely. Matt Lawton at the Daily Mail should be absolutely ashamed of himself for that famous article he wrote.
The best players in the world. And Xavi.
What a moronic, uneducated, ill-informed opinion to say.
Yeah. You just make yourself look stupid doing.
Well, yeah, I'm not pleased. Yeah,
I think that.
I think the more people that circle that sort of article around, the better. Really.
Well, on the subject of Arsenal, Barcelona, Carlos Vela was left out of the 18-man squad. Now, bear in mind, Arsenal had a few injuries as well. He was left out. Wenger said it was for competition for places. Now, I know Vela's not featured massively, but you'd think he would get in the first 18, especially with a few injuries. So as I say, Wenger said it was because of competition for places, but when Mexican television at a press conference in the Nou Camp asked Vela's agent Eduardo Hernandez, he said that the reason why Vela didn't play is that he couldn't find his passport.
See, as an Arsenal fan, that really annoys me, because if he had been there, we'd have definitely won.
Exactly.
It's true.
If anything, there should be a replay. Someone get Sheffield United's phone lawyer on the phone.
Well, the Irish Football Association might be.
Tidy your room, Hernandez.
It's a remarkable one. We're talking about a top four club. I've also got to mention, that Frank Ribery turned 27 recently. And to celebrate his birthday, Bayern Munich gave Big Frank a gift. Do you know what they gave him? Bear in mind, he's one of their best players. He was a great player.
Carriage clock.
Countdown carriage clock.
Yeah, it's a picture of a Spitfire. No, they gave him a pen.
And Mont Blanc.
Yeah, well, when Chief Executive Karl-Heinz Rummenigge was asked, why did you give him that? He said, we hope he's going to use it to sign his new contract.
Is that an attempt at humour?
I think Ribery's I wasn't going to sign it, but now you bought me a pen, I feel obliged.
If it's incredibly convenient for me in this exact moment in time, why not?
Yeah. Do you reckon they wrap the present up in his contract as the wrapping paper? And, well, your contract's there now, you might as well sign it. Or do the old chestnut, fold the paper back and get a little kid to ask him for his autograph. We've all been there,
then
Pete.
Write the contract around it.
Yeah. The Harry Redknapp school of thought, on that, I'd imagine.
That's how the Ramble signed Pete. We signed him up.
Well, let's move on to Europe's premier competition, the Europa League. Liverpool and Fulham representing.
Avoided each other as well, which is great.
Because
I want to see all England football competitions and games.
You must love the FA
Obviously,
Cup,
clearly the Europa League's where it's at now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, of course it is.
Liverpool knocked out my tip, Benfica.
There.
So sorry to everyone who put money on them.
Fulham.
I did as well, but same consolation.
Betway.com. That's a football rambler.
Pluggerific.
Fulham beat the German champions.
Twice.
A cracking goal as well.
Yeah.
Talking of one-man teams,
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Honduras is Bobby Zamora.
Damien Duff. And
boy, surely.
Oh, yeah, exactly, boy, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just Danny Murphy and I disagree with you.
I just worry about Zamora burning out with his 20 million games he's played this season.
Yeah. Well, he has played a lot, actually.
Speaking of Danny Murphy, it's funny, interesting to say, I never had him sort of pinned as this sort of player, but when I... when we went to went to Villa Park for that day once, there's a lot of managers there and they had a press conference.
Yeah.
And
that was a launch for Championship Manager.
Yeah, Alan Kirbishley was asked about how difficult it was. I can't remember what the question was. It's like a generic management question. And he said, he just dropped in, oh yeah, well, I had players like Danny Murphy who on the day when they fancied it were brilliant, but they'd go missing for you. They'd let you down. And I thought to myself, I don't remember, I don't think of Danny Murphy as that sort of player.
No, I don't.
Maybe some Liverpool fans or Fulham fans do.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Kirbishley knows what he's talking about.
Oh, I'm sure he does, yeah. But I mean, it just struck me as a bit odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, please continue.
Yeah, well, it was... Fulham were just... Like, towards the end of the game, in the second leg, away in Germany, Fulham were bossing them. Mm. Like, there was one real big let-off for Fulham, actually. But apart from that, Fulham should have won 2-3 at Wolfsburg, for crying out loud.
Just solid, aren't they? It's brilliant. Damien Duff's been brilliant as well.
Yeah. Teams find it so hard to break Fulham down. Yeah. Like, Wolfsburg, I'll give him even more credit because it's worth mentioning. Graffito and Eden Dzeko last season were the most prolific strike partnership in Europe.
Right.
And they at home they couldn't score against Fulham. You know? So
I know it's the one thing that Fulham can do as well as be solid and all the rest of it is they can keep the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was talking about this the other day when Middlesbrough got to the UEFA Cup final. It was a bit of they would be down and they'd sort of crash bang wallop them in the last sort of 10 minutes.
McLaren would just put all the strikers on in the hope it'd work, and he did it in the final and they just got stumbled out.
They were playing Sevilla in the final. So they've got.
No, well done to them. I think it's amazing. But if they could win that, they've never been beyond the third round of a European competition.
Imagine if
they
beat Liverpool in the final.
Hmm.
That could happen.
Eminently doable.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah,
they've got to get there, and of course, Liverpool are playing Atletico Madrid.
Mm.
So
Aguero and Forlan against.
Did you see
Carragher?
Yeah. Well, Torres' old club as well.
Yeah. That's right. Mm. Did you see Hugh Grant was in the stands?
Of course, he
didn't.
Big Fulham fan.
God. Apparently
he was, as one article put it, an occasional assistant groundsman at Craven Cottage.
What, before he was famous?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Well, yeah, you see. So,
I'll just water the pitch.
Misimovic, the playmaker for Wolfsburg, said,
yeah,
of course he's welcome at the game, talking about Hugh Grant.
Yeah, yeah.
But come the final whistle, he won't have much to laugh about.
Oh!
Fighting talk.
Why, is the fancy German lady not going to be sitting next to him anymore? Yeah. He's going to chat up.
Yeah, good point.
Thanks.
Forced.
Yeah.
I'm just relevant. A man looking at a pitch. something. I don't know any Hugh Grant courts. Yours.
That's probably a testament to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Zamora for England. It's got to be mentioned.
Luke, you're going to have to kill yourself on air.
What
if this happens? This is a promise you made.
Yeah, I'll do a poll for the method. Yeah. The listeners can vote. But in fairness, Zamora's piped up this week and said that he might represent Honduras.
Really?
Because he's eligible.
Yeah.
He's eligible.
Someone said to him, he's...
It's a brinkmanship from Zamora there, of course.
It's a risky card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll get off with that girl over there.
Instead.
You've got 10 minutes to decide, lady.
We've gone off Hugh Grant now, Pete.
Zamora was asked, would you like to play at the World Cup? And he said, yeah, it'd be nice to play in the World Cup.
Well,
typical football kind of answer.
Well, it sounds like he's been influenced by Roy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know.
God knows Roy sells him enough.
I'll go as far as to say that Bobby Zamora could score a hat trick in every single game of the rest of the season. He still won't get picked.
I think it's come too late for him. Well,
whether
he
should or not is a different question.
He's got no international experience, and maybe if he was playing. He'd played well last season, he'd played a few friendlies
How old is he now? I always forget how old
Zamora is. He 27?
Yeah, he'd be about that. Yeah, he's getting on.
So I mean, not outside chance for the Euros, maybe.
Possibly,
I mean, if he has a strong second season, if he has a strong next season.
I mean, I know I've been widely criticising him over the season, but in fairness, to put a bit of balance,
you can't help your shape. It's fine.
Jermaine Defoe was poor on Sunday. Against a makeshift centre-back pairing. Well, he couldn't get through.
Defoe will go, though.
Of course he will, yeah.
I think Darren Bent could nip in front of Defoe.
No, I don't think I can't see him dropping.
Did Darren Bent piping up on the internet again about Stan Collymore criticising?
Yeah, brilliant.
What was it? I'm all for that, James.
Yeah, same.
I like Darren Bent.
He made some references to some things that Stan Collymore's done in his past that were bad that I'm not sure we can even talk about.
Yeah. He's got a lot to choose from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's amazing that he managed to fit that into 140 characters. <isn't>
he should get back to and stop commenting on other professionals or something.
Whatever it was, it resulted in Stan Collymore not doing Twitter anymore.
Really?
Like removing himself from Twitter.
Oh, right. Concentrate on his acting career.
Yeah, he fancies himself as an exchange Bond or something. So.
It's time for a Euro roundup.
Do I smell a new feature? Is that a new feature?
Is it just about currency? It's going to be boring.
we always do this.
Okay, right.
I just
made
batched
it formal.
I've batched it all together.
You've concatenated Maverick. It.
Yeah. I have.
You've been dating the lady for a while, and you've just changed your Facebook status to in a relationship.
How dare you?
It's a funny noise.
Primera Liga.
Yeah, El Clasico, El Gran Clasico.
Oh, was it on?
It was.
Yeah, I saw it. Barcelona, magnificent win in Madrid, 2-0.
Pep Guardiola is the first manager to win El Clasico four times in a row.
Correct. He is indeed, yeah. He is indeed.
Xavi was a star of the season.
Xavi was magnificent. We were saying, Luke, though, weren't we the other day, that...
I don't know what you're going to say yet.
That's why he's saying.
Yeah,
I'm reminding you.
Yeah, go on.
That often in these big games, well, always in the big games, people look at Messi. And I know that Ibrahimovic didn't play, but he's often one that's looked at as well. Whereas someone like Xavi, who's one of the best players in the world,
he must love it.
He's just kind of sitting there going, "Well, I don't mind. I'll just run the show from here."
He must love it.
And the second Barcelona, in the second Barcelona goal. He had so much time on the ball.
Yeah.
So much time. It was almost as if he was like, "Oh, come on, someone make..." And he looked at Pedro and he was like, "Look, just run. If you run, don't even worry about where the ball... Because I will put it so perfectly. All you've got to do is run."
Yeah. You're doing Andy Gray, yeah? inside the player's mind.
Yeah.
He says to his mate, "Here you go, son. Make something out of that."
And he thinks, "Did I leave the oven on?" And then he passes the ball.
It was a great goal.
It was a lovely goal. Lovely finish.
It was a great
Pedro's
goal.
Pedro's had a superb breakthrough season. Yeah. I think that's his 18th or his 19th goal.
That's right. Really, really well.
In Serie A, Roma are on top.
Yeah.
Roma are top of the league.
It's happening, isn't it?
That's right.
Everyone wanted this. There's actually a bloody title race going on.
I know.
It'd be brilliant for Ranieri, wouldn't it? I bet he's sort of been harbouring some sort of scheme for revenge over Mourinho in some convoluted way.
Yeah, so, well, Inter drew away at Fiorentina.
Eto scored, didn't he?
Eto was amongst the goals there. Milan just don't want it.
No. It's weird, isn't
it? A draw
it?
At home against Catania.
Okay, well, D-Beck's gone, they've gone to...
There's nothing to play for.
Well, yeah.
Nothing to play for apart from the league. Another little story, quite a shocking one that came, in case anybody heard of this. There was the racist referee in Italy.
Really?
You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Please, I'm sitting down for that surprising announcement.
The Italian Referees Association say the official fine for sending off a youth team player and calling him a Chinese piece of shit, breaking my balls. They said he's an excellent referee. This was a one-off, and he feels rather sad about the whole thing.
He probably is a decent referee, but he's just a massive racist. Therefore, he can't do it. He can't be a referee anymore.
But I don't think you realise the referee in question feels rather sad about the whole thing. Yeah.
Hang on, this is a one-off. You're not racist once.
No, exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't work right.
Chinese piece of shit. Unless he's referring to his whistle, like it's a problematic statement in the extreme.
Yeah. It was actually made in Taiwan.
Breaking my balls.
Yeah. Is he like an Italian American?
God,
breaking my balls.
You cannot.
I kind of hope so. You know.
Don't give him any credit.
What's he going to get? He feels rather sad. I mean, really.
What, because he's been caught being a racist?
Dear, oh dear.
Dear, oh dear.
That's this week's Big Ron Award.
Yeah. Let's go to Bulgaria.
Well, don't do that often.
No.
But we did... packs of wild dogs in Bulgaria, are there? So let's be careful.
Yeah. Okay. I was told
I heard that. That's the same in Portugal as well. Apparently, the dogs go out at night and they all go and hang out together.
They do in South America.
True.
They do in South America.
Really, really weird.
Yeah.
Peru,
cats
it was
in Greece as well.
Is it?
Yeah, they all go around the Parthenon, don't they?
What is this subculture?
It's amazing.
I was in Portugal last year, and I was staying with like family from of my girlfriend. And I said that in a really weird way, but they've got this amazing.
She doesn't have a family.
This amazing dog, and at night it would just sort of jump over the wall, and it would just go off and meet its mates, and you could hear them all just barking and just playing and just being mates.
It's the same in
dogs have social lives.
It's the same in Peru and Bolivia. It's incredible.
If anything, they're mothered in England too much.
You know what I mean?
They're not allowed out.
I heard that in Romania, the dogs got rid of the rat problem.
Can we talk about something else?
No.
Can we stay on top?
In Greece, in Greece, they have all the cats when the tourists are around, and then they kill them.
Yeah, they do.
They kill them off season.
There's a lot of cruelty to cats in Greece. I can confirm that.
Because I've hit a few in Greece. It's part of the culture. Slap, slap.
Do they still push donkeys out of clock towers in Spain? Does anyone know where they started?
I was unaware of the whole situation.
Are they still going to slaughter that donkey at the start of the South African World Cup?
No.
It's a cow, isn't it?
Was it a cow?
I don't think so. Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Yes.
We recently had an email.
Yeah, apparently they got packs of wild dogs there.
Oh, funny you say that. We had an email recently, which we read out on the show, telling us of terrible tales from Bulgarian football. Do you remember? It was CSK.
That's right.
It was some awful.
A bit of a mess, isn't
it? Don't know where to start.
Oh, yeah. Sophia, it was like a crazy 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, something positive has come from Bulgarian football. This was in The Observer, where the president of the Bulgarian team, Slavia Sofia, Ventislav Stefanov, he ran on the pitch during, I think it was a reserves match, because one of the players was unconscious and he swallowed his tongue after a rough challenge, which of course can be fatal, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
And the referee kind of just waved play on. And so he ran on and effectively saved this man's life.
Was it Howard Webb?
what refereeing? He said, I saw our lad collapsing and I needed no permission from the match officials to rush onto the pitch and help him.
That's bloody hard, fishing your tongue out of a throat, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The physio, he has like a kind of like a tongue brace sort of thing.
Oh, right.
In his thing.
Oh, just in case.
Bag, yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
so he saved his life, did he?
Yeah, Stefanov also said, but I would do the same for anyone, not just a Slavia player.
But he saved his life.
Saved his life.
Otherwise, that just sounds like, oh, well, something good's happened. A kid swallowed his tongue.
Yeah. No, he saved his life.
Good, well done.
Good on him.
Now, we're going to go outside of Europe briefly to Peru.
Okay.
Which, of course, is in South America.
They eat guinea pig in Peru.
More Ecuador, actually.
Is it Ecuador? I do apologise.
Do they have them on sticks? It seems like the sort of thing you'd have on
a stick. It's kind of like a kebab.
Yeah.
Have you seen?
Is it?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go. I don't know if I'd like it.
I'll give it a go. Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's not compile a list of things Luke would eat, because we'd be here.
Good one.
Very good one. This is from The Observer. The Peruvian striker Roberto Silva, he says that he thinks there may be gays in football.
What a shock.
Yeah, he's just some kind of
Columbo.
Some kind of detective, yeah. he said that I have suspicions there are some gays in football.
Was he whispering when he said
well, I can only
is this like
assume
a private conversation you've had with him?
To be fair, he is making out like he's sort of, you know.
Well, no, it does seem like gather round.
Yeah.
You know.
Super.
I wonder if he called a press conference just to say this. He said I have some suspicions that there are some gays in football. Sometimes you can't help but wonder about it.
You're on the training pitch at night. You hear a rumbling in the bushes.
What else did you say?
He said, I am not gay, but if I was, or if I was a woman, which is similar, I would do David Beckham. But that's just my individual opinion.
He's talked himself into a corner.
The best thing is, Marcus, that's not exactly what he said. He didn't say, I am not gay. He said, I am not a gay. Which is more humorous.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
I love the idea that being a gay man and being a woman are similar.
Yeah.
They both like Sex in the City.
I just love that. Who asked? Why did he come out with this?
He's not even been prompted. He's just come out.
I've talked to him to a corner.
Maybe he intended to come out and then just sort of backtrack. Yeah. Like, God, I've got to say something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I think, but if I was one, I'd probably do David Beckham, but I'm not, and that's just my opinion.
Shut up.
I think he's been listening to the ramble, because pretty much every episode we managed to turn it around to how much we fancy David Beckham.
By we, do you mean me? I appreciate your support.
I think there is a Lukey Moore in football.
Yeah.
I have my suspicions.
What a contrast with the previous month.
Emails!
Ladies and gentlemen, it is emails. Luke, please go first.
This is an email from Jimmy Morgan.
Go on, Jim.
He says, Ramble Force, ho! another to add to the ever-growing collection of stupid things heard at football matches. I was sitting in the front row of the Liverpool versus Birmingham match at St Andrews last weekend when an animated fan reacting to Fernando Torres' dispute of a referee's decision came out with... Fuck off, Torres, you Italian twat.
It's a basic error.
Yeah. Torres is like the most Spanish-looking man in the world.
Apart from Danny Guisa.
Guess where he's from.
He goes on to say, despite our lofty position, this season some of us are still stuck in the old Division 3 mentally. Barry Davis for South Africa 2010.
Definitely.
All the best, Jimmy.
Go on, Jimmy
Morgan. Cheers,
well done, Jimmy.
Probably my favourite Jimmy on the show.
Well, let's you're my favourite one.
Good, thank you, Mark.
Also, Jimmy. Go on, James.
What James or Jimmy?
Okay, Ramblefall's Who and all that.
Yeah. Oh! Luke's got involved.
Enough. I wanted to open your eyes to football in the great country of Thailand. Imagine being a local boy kicking it around the park, impressing the scouts and being offered a contract with Tobacco Monopoly FC.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there is a club named as such in Thailand in the Thai Premier League, or even the glitz and glamour of Customs Department Phetchabarai in the Thai Division 1.
They're called Customs Department?
Customs Department.
Yeah, that's there we dance on the streets of Customs Department tonight.
And the less notable inclusions of Thai Farmers Bank, Royal Thai Air Force and Police United.
Definitely Police United,
really. Thai Farmers Bank, that's a unique bank, isn't it? With very few people in it.
Very sort of specific. Would I be right in saying Thailand has the greatest football club names ever?
Yes.
Cheers, lads. Matt Brisbane, Australia. Yeah. Actually, something else hilarious happened in Southeast Asia. Any of you seen that video? It's 11 professional footballers playing a game. Sounds fairly reasonable, but they're playing against a group of children.
Basically. Oh, there's loads of them.
Yeah, well, there's 100 of the children.
Yes.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a good
game. And it is weirdly coherent as well.
They've obviously been instructed to keep the ball on the deck because they hit kids in the face and stuff.
Well, the kids keep trying to hit them on the break and they actually do it quite well.
They've got 100 players.
I know, but there's some sort of strategy there, you know. They're not all just bunching around it.
The little kid takes a pretty surprisingly decent corner because he's absolutely tiny, but he manages to get it right in there.
Just fill the box.
Right into the back.
Fill the box.
Attack-minded children.
Oh, dear. Luke and I were actually talking about these, and Luke suddenly came out with, I'd like to play football against the 100 pigs.
Well, we were saying it would be interesting if you did it with sort of just 100 members of the public against like a proper team or just 100 animals.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, with the 100 pigs or animals, you'd have to have a proper keeper.
Yeah.
If I got that discipline.
That beer advert where there's just loads of, like, loads of hundreds and hundreds of people playing football in the street. I hate any sort of sports related beer adverts usually, but that looks really satisfying.
Oh, that's like mob football, isn't it?
Does anyone ever have dreams where you're playing a football game but it's in like a weird place?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can't kick the ball when you're right in front of goal.
Well, that must be in real life. I mean, it's like it'd be a weird. You'd be playing against like other professional footballers or something.
Yes.
And. But it's in like a street or a sort of
your garden or something,
supermarket or something.
Or is it against 100 pigs? Well, they've got no discipline, so you'd probably be all right.
That's animals. A good idea. I like that.
Petey, hello. I've got an email from a man by the name of James Mitchell.
Loads of Jameses today,
and he's given it a bit of a title. It says Rooney stole my Stella.
Oh, okay. This is from last week, is it?
This is in reference to Wayne Rooney nicking a bit of alcohol and putting it in a
beer
cup.
Beer thief Wayne Rooney.
All right, Ramblers. Loving your work. Always a lovely ramble. I'm going to take you back to your last podcast and the capture of Wayne Rooney stealing a sip of his mate's pint. Now, being from the blue half of Manchester, I wouldn't usually mind you ripping out of a red. I don't think you're ripping out of him. We were enjoying the spectacle.
Yeah.
And long may that continue if that Muppet Rio carries on murking people. But I am sticking up for Rooney on this one. Oh. As I used to work at Old Trafford, I know that it is against the law for anyone to drink alcohol at the window of an executive box, including the club's best player. So most people drink alcohol from the coffee cups. Strange but true. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh. See, that's interesting.
You're not allowed to legally drink any beer in the view of the pitch.
Okay.
So, yeah, at Wembley at the weekend that we were stopped.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I had neck a hole at that Carlisle match. I had a neck a hole in about 5 minutes.
Hold on,
good info.
Actually.
Thanks for the follow-up. Who's that from?
James Mitchell.
James or Jim Mitchell.
Good lad.
Marcus.
Hello.
It's about that time of the show.
Oh, yes, so it is. Yeah,
responsibility is bestowed upon you to dish out the now universally famous Championship Manager goodie bag.
By the power vested in me, I'm going to give it to James or Jim Mitchell.
Yeah, well done.
Okay.
Lovely.
Good stuff. Well done, James.
So much weight to you.
In a bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Hooray! Come on, you miserable
Hooray!
Sods.
Woo! Who is it?
It's trusty Paul McGrath.
Trusty oh. Paul, long overdue if you ask me.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't ask you. he was born on the 4th of December 1959.
7.5, 8 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah, that's right. Nonchalantly put. Hmm. One of the best players ever to play for Ireland. Some say the best, but I think that, you know, there's certain others. That,
on his
that,
day.
That make, okay.
Absolutely.
Solid.
Unimpeachable.
An extraordinary career the man had. A lot of controversy and personal tragedy, sadly, in there.
Yes.
Yeah. But
which made his playing career all the more remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, that overcome a lot.
Very much so. I mean, he was up against it from the start. He was born. He was the son of an Irish mother and a Nigerian father who he never knew, and his mother. The thought of having an illegitimate child, effectively. And especially
a mixed race.
A mixed race. Absolutely. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but. You know, especially back in those days.
Yeah, he had a tough start because he was put up for adoption.
Very much so. Well, so much so she went over to London to see if she could find work there. And he was born in London, actually.
Yeah.
But she moved back to Ireland soon after. And he was put straight into foster care. He was only weeks old.
Yeah.
And was there, stayed in the first 16 years or something like that of his life. He was in foster care in a series of orphanages in Dublin.
It was weird because his sister, I think, used to visit him with his, or rather his half sister used to visit him with his mother.
Right.
Yeah. And he'd like just say hello and then they'd just go away.
Yeah.
They know. Did he know who they were?
He knew. But back then, because he was so young, he didn't really understand that this was a weird situation.
Okay.
And later in his life, he did actually form some sort of relationship with his grandfather, which was kind of like the whole reason why he was put up for adoption, because he wasn't necessarily the most
tolerant.
That's right.
I think McGrath actually said about that he understood his mother's decision, having met his grandfather. As
yeah.
Well.
Okay.
Obviously
right.
He wasn't sort of overjoyed about it, but I think he sort of got his head around it in the end.
I mean, I must say that we're saying all this because of what happened in the man's life. You know, this is kind of setting the foundation.
Yeah, of course.
I suppose. You know, he said things like, you know, the only toys, if you can call them that, they had in these orphanages were tires from local garages. They just roll them around and hit them with sticks, and that was their entertainment.
It's appalling, isn't it? You think
He said the biggest luxury they had on Christmas morning was an egg with their toast. I mean, it's just...
It was a very different world.
Oh, completely different world, very much so, yeah.
It's a good job he found a football at one at some stage.
Well, that's right. I mean, and also, of course, he was, you know, racially abused and all the rest of it. So he had an awful start to life, absolutely awful. But you're right, Luke, he did get into football, and he was playing for just some local sides, and he caught the eye of a Manchester United scout.
He was playing for St Patrick's Athletic, wasn't he?
He did. Well, he was caught. He was seen by a Manchester United scout, Billy Bayan, and Bayan decided that McGrath, instead of going straight from where he was into Manchester United, which would have been a hell of a step, he said that he should be taken to an Irish league side to show what he could do amongst some professionals, you know. Mm. So he did sign for... St Patrick's Athletic, as you say, Luke. After he was turned down from many Irish clubs because of his unprofessionalism.
Apparently. Oh, really?
That's right, yeah. He only played for one season in Ireland, and he won the PFAI, Irish Player of the Season.
God, he must have been young as well.
Yeah, he was, yeah. So a year later on, after playing for them, he signed for Manchester United under Ron Atkinson. Mm. And at Manchester United, his only honour was the 1985 FA Cup, where United beat Everton 1-0, and he was man of the match in that game. And you know, so even before Eric Cantona went there, the fans used to sing "Ooh Ah Paul McGrath."
Yeah,
because obviously that often people think "Ooh Ah Cantona."
Star.
Paul McGrath. It was at United when he started drinking heavily, and of course, sadly, became an alcoholic. It started really when he would be injured for long periods of time, and him and Norman Whiteside would be out, he said. And after being in the treatment room, they had long days of doing nothing, and they thought, well, let's go for a couple, and a couple became a few more. And
obviously the support within the club structure wasn't as good as it is now.
So exactly.
They probably just left it to their own devices for a vast majority of the time.
Well, he said it was a different era, you know. He said that, as he put it, there was an unofficial league table of drinkers, you know, kind of thing. And he said that sometimes they would meet up with some lads from Everton and Liverpool and Nottingham Forest, and you'd have a good old drink with them, you know. And Ron Atkinson never used to care what you used to do in between games. He said, as long as you're good for match day, do what you want, kind of thing.
I think that was a prevailing attitude at the time, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
probably still is.
Atkinson.
That's right.
Lower leagues and stuff like that.
Maybe.
Very true. And it wasn't until Alex Ferguson came in to Manchester United where all that kind of changed. Ferguson was just, I'm not having this.
He sold him, didn't he? Pretty much.
Well, eventually. I mean, he did play. He had, you know, he was at United for a good few years, you know, but unfortunately he did have a lot of knee injuries, as we said. And eventually, Alex Ferguson just had enough of him, really. Ferguson was trying to get rid of the drinking culture at the club, and they actually offered McGrath $100,000 one-off payment to retire.
That's right, I heard that, but he refused to, didn't he?
He did indeed, and he eventually was forced out, and Graham Taylor signed him up for Aston Villa for $400,000 in 1989.
That is an incredible affront to the man, to any man.
Yeah.
But I think very much it was kind of, I mean, presumably you'd have to pay his wages off anyway, so that would probably be cheaper. I mean, I guess you'd, but the thing is with Ferguson, it's not like he didn't rate him as a player. It was just that drinking that he had a problem with. I remember reading that he once said of McGrath what sort of player McGrath could have been, and that was kind of in the sort of past tense, weirdly.
Yeah,
it, like he'd already made the decision that he
That's
was going
right.
to be a bit of a mess up.
Yeah, I think that if you look at, I mean, I know you'll come onto this probably, but some of the performances that McGrath put in, he's absolutely unbelievable performances anyway, let alone the problems
sometimes
he had
under the effects still.
You know, it's quite rare, and you see this a lot in sort of any sort of knockout competition, especially sort of towards the end of it, where you're excited by a defender's performance.
Yeah.
And you really rarely get that. But when someone's just absolutely solid, you know, and it's actually quite an incredible thing to watch. And McGrath was one of those players
that would
regularly put those performances.
But he won PFA Player of the Year. Defenders never win it.
Yeah. He did, yeah.
Never win it.
Absolutely. I mean, he went to Aston Villa and he really liked playing for Graham Taylor. He said he was excellent with him. He said he was really sorry to see Graham Taylor leave for England, of course.
He signed for Villa late 80s, was it?
Yeah, 89, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Under Taylor, and then, of course, Ron Atkinson took over after.
Again.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Joined up again with Big Ron. But he became a cult hero at Villa. In fact, a lot of people think he's one of the greatest players ever to play for. Well, he is, really.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
He'd definitely be up there from what I can remember.
He was Villa Player of the Year for four successive seasons.
One of those seasons when they won the League Cup.
This was, I mean, we talk about his off-the-field problems. You know, he's their man of the season for four successive seasons. This is wild. That all the drinking and even suicide attempts and stuff is going on. I mean,
his injuries mean he can train and stuff.
It's just unbelievable.
There was bits where he'd cover his arm, like,
that's right,
with like a sweatband.
Yeah,
where he'd made attempts on his own life.
That's right. That is
messed up.
And
more than that, the drinking could not have helped the injuries, like the recovery time for the injuries.
That's right.
Of course not.
Well, and something that you mentioned earlier, that he'd sometimes be pissed. He turned up with alcohol still on his breath.
Well, this is before the
this is for Premier League games.
A lot of people sort of talk about this as if it was quite a regular thing, though, which I don't think is the case.
No, I didn't think it happened as many as he put it. It was only a handful of times. Well, maybe a couple of handfuls, he said.
All right. But this is before Sporting Chance Clinic and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, absolutely, yeah.
This is when Tony Adams is still knocking him back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, he said that. I mean, he's not proud of that at all. And he said that he would sometimes hold his breath, you know, because he didn't want the forwards to realise. But
imagine that. Playing a game drunk and holding your breath and still absolutely bossing it.
Well, this is it. He would often win man of the match.
Yeah.
While all this is going on.
Well, some people could, if you wanted to be cynical about it, some people could say, oh yeah, well, the Premier League wasn't as strong as it is now.
Well, even so.
He did it at international level as well.
To be honest, well, I think it's a bit of an irrelevant comment.
He did it at international level as well.
We don't know that he was drunk in any particular games, do we? But even so.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, he did defy his demons and injuries, and as you say, Luke, he did win PFA Player of the Year in 1993. Villa also finished runners-up in the league twice when he was there. And he won two League Cup winners' medals when he was at Aston Villa.
Didn't they beat United in both games for that?
Yeah, they did. And in one of the finals, he said that he hadn't seen or spoken to Ferguson for 5 years since he left Old Trafford. And of course, he'd harboured a little bit of anger for him because he saw him as him chucking him out the club. Although he did say, you know, fair enough, he did make the right decision kind of thing to Ferguson. But Ferguson made a point of coming over to him on the pitch after the whistle had gone and said, "You had a brilliant game, son." And he said that meant a lot to him, you know. He came to like Ferguson quite
a lot. I mean,
you
don't know the situation, but I mean, to me, I think, I know the culture's changed now, but if you're the manager of a club and one of your players has got a personal problem, it's pretty much your responsibility to help them. Mm. And I don't know, I can't cast aspersions because I don't know if Ferguson did indeed do that, but I don't like to think that Ferguson just said, "Well, you go, have some money, see you later."
I don't think it's
difficult. I think what kind of set him on his road was just a genuine and concerted sort of feeling of inferiority.
And
to be honest, it's the sort of thing that plagues people with jobs that aren't necessarily 9-to-5 jobs, if I'm completely honest. There's just a lot of free time, there's not a lot to do, and it's just annoying that nobody was able to just put his arm around him and kind of sort him out a little bit.
But you know, we mentioned it at the start with all the orphanages and all, that he never had that, you know. He never had an arm around the shoulder, he never had anybody encouraging him and affirming him, and
I suppose no safety net.
And he felt like a terrifying
prospect. You know, if you screw up,
it's interesting to note just before that 1994 League Cup final that he had a number of painkilling injections just before the game because he had chronic neck pain, and he didn't sleep all night before the game. And he was, even as they were in the tunnel, just about to go on the pitch, he was still wondering whether or not he'd be okay to play in the game.
What, he didn't say anything to the manager?
Well, no, he had the painkilling injections, but he was still sort of thinking, "Oh, blimey, should I be playing?" You know, because of all this sort of stuff going on. And
didn't he say his head was numb?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because of all the
blimey,
absolutely incredible. Talking about him on the pitch is where we all remember him. When Gareth Southgate signed for Aston Villa he made a step up from Crystal Palace. He was asked, you know, after making this step up, how do you cope with the prospect of facing Alan Shearer and some of the best forwards in the world in this top division? Southgate said, "Well, it's easy. I'd look across the dressing room and see Paul McGrath in there." You know, he's going to be playing alongside me.
Yeah. Make it a lot easier.
That's how good he was.
I reckon I could probably even play with Paul McGrath. I reckon. Let him sit and run and mark,
tackle,
and bring the ball
play.
Out and tackle. Yeah.
You just basically, it's like you won a competition.
I'll do a
you
bit
get
like
to stand on the
Paul
pitch.
Linton and that half of his career. Just shout around a lot, just direct people.
After Aston Villa, he joined Derby County and helped them finish quite admirably 12th in the Premier League in their first season there. And he managed to... He went back to Old Trafford with Derby, and Derby won 3-2.
Get on that.
That's right. And Ferguson, again, to his credit, described McGrath's display as absolutely brilliant, and he was man of the match, which was a wonderful sort of... You know.
Testament to him, really.
Absolutely. He had brief spells with Sheffield United before he retired in 1998. And it's real testament to his fitness that despite all the stuff that went off the field and all the injuries, you know, he still played at the highest level until he retired in 98.
How old is he?
He'd been 39.
Wow.
He was 39 then. He's born in 59.
Yeah.
He was 38, 39. Yeah. That's outrageous. That's he didn't
incredible.
Even train. His knees were shot.
Well, that's right. I mean, Ledley King said he's a real inspiration to it.
But then he's only about 28.
Yeah, but no, but McGrath wasn't often training in between matches because of his knees, which of course is Ledley King's.
In fairness, there weren't as many games then either.
True.
Mind you, Spurs aren't really competing in Europe this season, so it's similar.
We have to mention his Irish career.
Of course.
He made a lot of caps.
In 1985, he won his first cap.
85.
Which was the first of 83. And, of course, he was a huge player in Jack Charlton's Ireland. Who went to Euro 88 and World Cup 90.
Beat England.
In Euro 88, that was a huge upset, And they got to the quarterfinals in 1990 and the second round in 94. And, Luke, you will want to talk about his performance against Italy in the 1994.
It's the best
World
defensive
Cup.
Display I've ever seen. There's nothing more I can say.
Me too.
There's nothing more I can say. I can't offer any more adulation than that.
that bit where it, like in three separate instances, like in one sort of Italy move, where like Baggio and everyone were just hammering the goal. He was just everywhere.
He made one tackle where he on his hands and knees. They got up, made a block, then got up again and headed the ball away.
Yeah, no, he didn't head it away. He blocked it with the only part of his body that's available, which was his face.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, that's probably just, more accurate. Yeah,
yeah. What? Just somebody flicked it up for Baggio to hit it on the volley, and he just nipped it off his toes. It was just. It was a grotesque image of just. What are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? Have another go.
To paraphrase a famous sporting quote, 2/3 of the world is covered by water, the other third is covered by Paul McGrath. That's the best way to sum up that.
He was the oldest man on the pitch in that game against Italy.
He's also the best man on the pitch.
That's right.
Honestly, it's worth getting a. If we can get some sort of highlight clip again. I haven't seen it for ages, but I remember it pretty vividly.
Absolutely incredible.
In fact, that's one of the most things I remember from '94, actually.
He's now in his 50s, but he's still pretty trim, and he apparently turns out for the old charity match and demands to play up front.
Yeah, you would.
His autobiography, Back from the Brink, is definitely my book of the week.
It's an absolutely harrowing account.
It's hard going, but...
It goes into all sorts of things that it'd be sort of churlish to go into on this show, but it's worth reading.
That's right. And as the Daily Telegraph put it, Paul McGrath played football as though he was wearing a silk smoking jacket with a crystal glass in hand.
Great stuff.
Which was superb. The great man said, "I'm like everyone. I love it when people appreciate what I do. I sometimes think that I wasn't everything I made out to be, but then I read this and that and think, yeah, I wasn't a bad player. I might even been a good player." He was a magnificent player, and he's in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Welcome,
Paul McGrath. Come on in.
Great piece, man. Right,
my lords, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com. Betway predictions, gentlemen.
City and the Manchester Derby for me.
Good. Pete?
Bilbao had a very strong showing at the weekend, so I thought I would go for them to beat Zaragoza at the weekend.
Okay. James?
I think Real Madrid will beat Valencia and sort of get over being beaten by Barcelona, and David Villa will go...
I've gone for Burnley to win away at Sunderland.
Big shout there. Big. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Sunderland have got nothing to play for, have they? Well, they might get relegated. No, they won't. It'll be fine.
No, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine, Ray.
They'll be fine. Geeks.
Any more notices or anything?
No. Buy a t-shirt.
We'll do 4-4 Ramble Extra. Yeah. That just about wraps it up. Oh, let me tell you about Ramble Extra, which is available to stream from the 442.com website. Which is every Friday lunchtime around then, yeah. We're on the homepage.
So you should better find it.
Yeah, and it's different material. What we do.
Extra. Hence the name.
It's
extra.
Leather.
It is. That leaves me to say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
We're all off to re-turf the Wembley pitch. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.